Romans chapter number 1. The book of Romans teaches us the gospel that Paul preached on his missionary journeys. He's teaching it to those who are in Rome so that there will be no misunderstanding of what his gospel is when he does arrive there. The gospel is a burden that's on my heart, and I wanted to say this morning that Monday through Friday from 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, I am available to go knock on doors and go soul winning if someone would like to go. Just get in touch with me. Let me know when you're available, and we'll schedule a time to go knock on doors together. In the Bible, when they went out, the Bible says he sent them out two by two. That's the scriptural way to go, and that's the way we ought to go. So I need a partner to go with me. And if you're available, I'd appreciate getting with me. Let me know you are available, and we'll schedule a time, and we'll go soul winning. Amen? Romans chapter 1. Last week, we read the introduction, seven verses, and Paul introduced himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about Paul, but now we're going to get a look at his heart. What's in his heart? What's motivating Paul? What's driving Paul on these missionary journeys? So we're going to begin in verse number 8. 8 through 10, I believe, go together. So let's read those three verses. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. First, that word, I believe, means first in terms of chronology. He wants to talk about that first. Any spiritual endeavor we undertake should begin with prayer. We see that here. First, I thank my God. First, before anything else. And if we're to be successful in the ministry, no matter what area we're talking about, that ministry should be bathed in prayer. We don't pray enough. I think that the disciples, after traveling with the Lord for a while and saw the Lord and how he spent much time in prayer, they came to him one day and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. They recognized the importance of prayer, the necessity of prayer, the power of prayer. And I think today in the 21st century, we're missing that. Why don't we see the results we want to see or would expect to see? We don't pray. We don't pray. You have not because you ask not. So first, Paul said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. The blessings of God, they come from God. But they come through Jesus Christ. He is the channel by which we receive blessing. He is the way the door was opened into heaven. You remember when he hung on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And so from that point forward, we had access to God directly through the work of Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now, here we learn that Paul was not a Yankee. He was a Southerner. Did you get that? He said, you all. Now, that's the point I want you to be sure you get this morning.
He just didn't know contractions, brother.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, in 11 of Paul's 14 letters, he speaks of praying for others. For example, turn with me 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, or verse 15, excuse me. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So over and over again, as you read Paul's letters, he's praying for these people he's ministering to. And there's a lesson there for us. If we're to minister, no matter what that ministry might be, if it's preaching, it ought to begin with prayer. If it's teaching, it should begin with prayer. If it's cleaning the building, it should begin with prayer. Whatever ministry we're performing, it ought to begin with prayer. Pray. So Paul says here, first, before anything else, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, the whole world in that verse is the Roman Empire. And it's not surprising that the faith of those Roman Christians would spread throughout the Roman Empire. After all roads in the Roman Empire lead to Rome. So there's a lot of traffic going in and out of the city of Rome. But Rome is a pagan city. It's not Christian. It's pagan. It's corrupt. It's immoral. It's everything you can imagine as being evil and wrong. But in that city, there was a group of Christians serving God. So naturally, that word got out. Hey, there's a group in this town, in this wicked city, that are trying to serve God. The news spread. Your faith is spoken of. Now, you can't see faith. Can you? You can't see it. Where is it? It's inside the individual. What you can see, though, are actions that are produced as a result of faith.
Amen.
Faith without works is, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. That's what James was talking about. If you have faith, it'll show. If it doesn't show, the chances are it doesn't exist. A person who's a Christian ought to live like it. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Paul said he was a servant. Now he says he's serving with his spirit. We all have a spirit. If we're saved, it's a living spirit. If we're lost, it's a dead spirit. But we all have a spirit. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. If we're to serve God, it must begin where? In the spirit. Jesus said to the woman at the well, they that serve God, the hour is coming and now is, when they that would worship God must serve him in spirit and in truth. It all begins with the spirit. The motivating drive is, it comes from the Spirit. My Spirit, he said. What Spirit does he have? The Spirit he received from God when he got saved. Amen? That's his Spirit. Whom I serve with my spirit. Now, here's an interesting word, the word serve. The word that's translated serve here in this verse is the same word that's translated other places as worship. In other words, worship and serving are the same thing. You can't live like the world all week long and come in here on Sunday morning and worship God. You can't do that. Worship is serving. If I'm not serving, I'm not worshiping. We get the wrong idea as to what worship is. This isn't worship. Worship is knocking on doors. Worship is being faithful to church. Worship is reading your Bible and praying and doing the things a Christian is supposed to do. And if you don't do those things, you can't worship on Sunday morning. Does that mean you shouldn't come? No. No, because that's the opportunity to get right with God. You don't have to come to church to get right with God, but that's a good place to do it. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. That means when he prays, he mentions these Roman Christians. Does that mean he's praying all the time? No, but when he does pray, he remembers these Christians. Making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. What's he praying? He wants to come to Rome and minister to these Christians and lost people in the city of Rome. And he's wanting God to prosper him on his journey to Rome. That's what he means by a prosperous journey by the will of God. It's been a long time. It's been about 20 years since Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. So it's been a long time that he's been wanting to get to Rome to preach to them there. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. For I long to see you. Paul has a love in his heart for these folks in Rome. And he hasn't even met them. He doesn't even know them. Now there's some there he does know, but not very many. There's a few. He names them later on at the end of the book. But he longs to see them, that he might impart unto them some spiritual gift. Now that spiritual gift is not the gifts we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's not what he's talking about. There's only one who can impart those gifts. That's the Holy Spirit. So that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a blessing that might be conveyed on them through his ministry. So listen to what he says. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Some might interpret that to mean that Paul thinks more highly of himself than he should. But that's not the point he's making here. Amen. And he's going to make that clear here in a few minutes. I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Amen. The word established means on a firm foundation. It means to be anchored. Now, those Roman Christians didn't have a New Testament like you and I have. The gospel was conveyed by word of mouth. And there were all kinds of perversions of Paul's gospel out there. For example, there were those who were teaching that Paul was teaching we don't have to obey the law. Paul was teaching that you can live any old way you want to and still be saved. There were all kinds of perversions of the gospel being taught. You read Paul's letters, he addresses some of those. For example, the legalists, those who say you have to keep the law in order to be saved. He addresses some of those. So there was much confusion about what the true gospel is. That's why he's writing this letter, to clarify the gospel that he was given directly from God to to teach and preach. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end, or for the purpose, that ye may be established. Rooted and grounded in the truth. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. In other words, that we have the what? The same faith. He wants these Roman Christians to have the same faith that he was given by God to preach and teach. And he's concerned that there are other things being taught that need to be corrected. That's why he's writing this book. That is, that I may be comforted together with you. In other words, he's saying, now, when I come to see you, it won't be just so that I can do something for you, give you some spiritual gift, but you can do the same for me.
Amen.
There's some things that I know that you don't know. There are some things that you know that I don't know. Now, if you know something that I don't know, you can teach me. And we can learn from folks if we'll listen. It doesn't matter how educated they are or how illiterate they are, how old they are or how young they are. If we listen, we can learn from other folks. Amen. I feel sorry for folks who don't feel like they can learn anything from someone else. Paul wasn't one of those. He says here, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Any questions so far? All right, let's go on. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. He was hindered from coming. Now, why was he hindered? Was it Satan hindering him, or was it something else? I believe it was something else. What was hindering him? Well, he talks about the care of all the churches. In other words, he'd started churches, but they needed more teaching and more help before he moved on to a new field. So the things that needed to be accomplished in the churches he'd already established, he needed to spend some time with them. In fact, his third missionary journey was spent almost entirely with two churches, the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus. But he needed to take care of them before he moved on. Now, I think that's what he's talking about here when he says, oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles, that I might have some what? Fruit. What's driving Paul? Fruit. Fruit. What's the fruit of a Christian? Another Christian. That's the main fruit. That's not the only fruit, but that's the main fruit. To see souls saved. That's the purpose of the gospel. He's going to tell us that in a couple of verses. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? The power of God unto salvation. That's the purpose of the gospel, is to get folks saved. That I might have some fruit. Among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now, in the Roman world or the Greek world, there were only two kinds of people, Greeks and barbarians. You're one or the other. There's nothing in between. Now, what was a Greek? Well, in the Roman world, a Greek was one who had come under the influence of the Greek culture. He didn't have to speak the Greek language, but he had come under the influence of the Greek culture. They were the Greeks. The barbarians were those who had not come under that culture. They were not cultured people. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What makes him a debtor? Attitude of service. All right. Where'd that attitude come from? Why does he have that attitude of service? Well, he's a servant, right? And what was he separated unto? The gospel. It's the gospel.
He possesses something he owes to.
Why does he owe it to them? He was commanded to go.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Exactly. And until he completes and fulfills that command, he still owes the debt. Now, is he the only one who received the command? Who else did? Every believer. I received that same command. You did. That means I'm a debtor. Until I've reached every soul on the face of the planet. We haven't done that yet. So what am I supposed to do? Oh, it's still up there. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. To whom? Every creature. That means the fellow in China or in Africa or in India or in Russia or in South America, it doesn't matter where they live. I'm a debtor to reach them. Is that right? But where does it start? It starts in my home. What about those people who live in my house? Or those people who live next door? Or those people who live down the street? Or the people I work with or go to school with. What about them? Am I a debtor to reach them?
Amen. Yes.
I would submit that I'm a debtor to reach them more than I'm a debtor to reach those halfway around the world. Because the order that was given in Acts 1:8 was, it begins where? In your Jerusalem. It begins at home. So where should we spend most of our efforts in winning souls? Here. That's why we run a bus route. That's why we knock on doors. That's why we go after souls. We're a debtor to do that. We've been commanded to do that. I hear sometimes they say, well, the Lord doesn't ask us to do anything. He commands us. We've been commanded to go. Paul took that command seriously. He was a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is. Think about that for a minute. As much as in me is. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And what has Paul found to do? Take the gospel message and deliver it. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, there's a word there that's interesting, the word ready. There are two words in the Greek language that are translated ready in the New Testament. One of them is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes and he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Paul says, I am now ready to be offered. Ready. Ready there means he's prepared. Prepared to what? Die. Here, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. That doesn't mean he's prepared to preach it. That means he's eager to preach it. Different word. We ought to be eager to share the gospel for many reasons. Reason number one, I've been commanded to. So when I go and share the gospel, bless God, I have obeyed his command. And we ought to be eager to obey his commands. When I go and knock on a door, there's somebody behind that door that needs to hear the good news that God has for them. I ought to be eager to share that good news. If we care about folks, we ought to be eager to share that good news. For I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not disappointed in the gospel. I'm not disappointed in the gospel of Christ. For it is, not it was, not it used to be. It what? It is. Not just in the first century, but in the 21st century, it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
God still saves today. Well, preacher, we live in a hard time. It's always been a hard time. You should have been in Jerusalem in that first century if you want to experience a hard time. Amen. Jesus himself was here. What did they do with him? They killed him. We'll not have this man to rule over us. Give us Barabbas. They hated him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Neither did anyone else. But they hated him. We don't know what hard times are. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's not the power of the messenger. It's the power of God. When I go and deliver the gospel, it's not up to me to convince them they need to be saved. My job is to preach the gospel, the word preach. It's not right there, preach the gospel to every creature. The word preach means proclaim. That's right. Amen. That means tell it. But I don't know all the scriptures. Use the ones you know. I think of the woman at the well. She went back into town, and you know what she did when she got back into town? She said, you wouldn't believe who I just met. The Messiah has come, and he told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? She didn't quote one scripture, but many believed. You know how many of us can win a soul to Christ? Every one of us. Every one of us, if we would just go. If we just go. Now, you may not win someone the first day you go, or the first week you go. But I promise you, if you'll go and continue to go, you'll win someone to Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk down the streets of heaven someday and have someone walk up to you and thank you that you shared the gospel with them? And because you shared the gospel with them, they're there with you on the streets of glory. What a wonderful blessing. I believe that's what the Lord was talking about when he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I believe that's souls. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our treasure? Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. We spend too much time laboring for this world's goods and not enough time laboring for that world's goods. There's another word here I wanted to talk about. Let's see. It's 9:15. I've got another hour. Another word I want to talk to you about is the word comfort. And I haven't got time to do that this morning. But if I forget, would you remind me next Sunday morning to talk to you about comfort? If you can remember. All right. Thank you for your time and your attention.